Amen. Well, that song, I Want My Life to Count, has tore my heart up. I want it to count. I was thinking of sitting over there. I guess we go through life and wonder sometimes if our life counts with anything. But it does. I was thinking about, while they were singing that, about all the, not all, but many of the people that have left a little piece of them in my life as I've went down through life. I thought about my old grandmother. I had no witness for God in my family. None. My grandmother lived a lot of miles away, and I wouldn't get to see her often, but she knew the Lord. And she probably never traveled more than 25 miles from home her whole life. But she called me every Sunday evening. Every Sunday evening at 3 o'clock she would call. And she'd say, I wonder if my preacher boy is still preaching. And I was thinking about, I called her Ma. And I thought about what her life meant to my life. I thought about Brother Billy Mitchell, what a friend he was for 37 or 8 years. Brother Blue, and people I can mention that you don't even know, and you could do the same with myself, whose life meant something to me. And I carry today pieces of them with me. And when this life's over, I don't care. I don't really care whether I was ever known in boxcar letters or not, or my name was ever in the lights. But I would like to know, it's Brother Aldridge just preaching this morning, that somebody saw a little piece of Jesus. Somebody saw a little piece of the Lord in your life. When it's all over and gone, we lost the greatest friend I've ever had back in December, 2 weeks before Christmas. Greatest Christian I've ever pastored. Maybe one of the greatest Christians I've ever known. He left such an effect on my life. I was his pastor, but I sometimes wonder if he didn't help me more than I ever helped him. And when I say what I'm about to say, I'm not saying this just to be right or kind or whatever. But if you knew how honored I am to get to be among you men, some of the greatest Christians. I was listening to Sister Blaylock and them sing this morning. And what a great Christian Sister Blaylock has been, Brother Blaylock. And I thought, what a blessing it is. Kind of like the old statement about the donkey that was entered into the Kentucky Derby. I know y'all have heard it. Somebody told it, said, what in the world are you entering the Kentucky Derby for? You know you can't win. He said, I'm not trying to win. I'm just glad to get to run among such greats. And so that's kind of how I feel this evening. And I mean that. I mean that. Some of you men have made such a mark in your life. And your life's not over. And only God knows where it'll yet take you. Brother Paul said something a while ago, and it's those little remarks, and I know he means what he said, and I know he's kidding somewhat too. But he said at the table last night, and he said something about, this is my daddy, talking about me. This is my daddy. And, oh, Lord, I look that old. And I said, you know when you say that, that if I'm your daddy when I get old and feeble, you have to take me and take care of me. And he said, well, preacher, I love you enough that you know I do it.
Amen.
And you can't meet people like that. You can't meet people like that in a job. It's only God's people. It's only God's people. Never got over. Well, Lord help me. I've never got over the mud hole. The Lord come down into one day. Pick me up. Out of a mud hole. It's a dark hole. It's a deep hole. It's a depraved hole. And set me among people like this. I've never got over that. And I don't want to get over it. I'm more aware at this stage of my life. I'm more aware of what God done for me back then than I was back then. Well, I don't know. Isn't God good? I wonder, Brother Barry, today where we'd be if it hadn't been for that night. That day. Yes, sir. And have been for that hour. I was headed to jail or hell one. My life was as low as it can go. Attempted suicide in 1978. I mean, I was at bottom. I lived in a truck by myself. My daddy run me off from home when I was 16. I had nobody. Nobody to lean on, nobody to talk to. I'd lay in the floorboard of a truck till I got cold, and I'd reach up and start it up. Get warm, cut it back off, trying to save my gas. Had no hope in this life, and saw the end of the life as nothing and hopeless and helpless. It was a miserable life. Working at, I don't know why I'm telling this, working at a building supply, making $28 a day. And finally got a little motel room, paid $32 a night for a motel room working for 28 bucks a day. And a preacher got to come into the building supply and got me on his heart. Invited me to the little church. It was in a basement. It wasn't even done. It's in a basement, starting a church in a basement of a house. And I went, and I heard Dr. James Rainwater preach on the Paschal Lamb. And he talked about how they cut its throat, caught the blood, and sprinkled the blood. He said, if you get under the blood, your lives can change. I didn't get saved that night, but I got under such conviction. I got saved later. I don't know where I'm going here. I don't really even care right to me. I got under such conviction that I got saved a little later. I never seen Dr. Rainwater since that day. I never laid eyes on him till two, three years before he died. How many ever knew Dr. Rainwater? Anybody ever know him? One fellow back here, Dr. Rainwater was a great preacher. He was pastor in McDonald, Tennessee at the time. And I'd never seen him. I'd told all over the country how that Dr. Rainwater was the guy I preached when I got under conviction. I never to get over it till I got saved. And I never saw him for the next 30, probably 35 years, never laid eye on him again. And I was back at that church in McDonald, Tennessee that he was pastoring at the time. And I walked through the door that night getting ready to preach it in revival. This old gray-headed guy bent over, kind of, big old tall fella kind of bent over. He spoke to me and I said, Brother Buster Mullins, and he said, Dr. James Rainwater. And I hyperventilated. I couldn't talk. I couldn't talk. He said, are you all right, young man? I said, I'll tell you in a minute. And the story might help you, some of you, a little bit. And in a minute I told him. I said, preacher, I said, in 1979... you preached at this little old basement of the church for Brother Harry Bacon. I said, you probably don't even remember it. He said, I do remember it. He said, it's the worst I ever preached in my whole life. He said, nothing could have come out of that meeting. I said, preacher, do you remember what you preached on? He said, I do. He said, I preached on the Paschal Lamb. I said, preacher, I stand before you tonight as a product of that message. Amen. You don't know. I don't know if I can preach. My wife's old pastor used to say, it's better felt than told. And so, here we all sit this evening. I really meant to preach. I really wanted to, but here we all sit this evening. And one by one, we could go back. Brother Ryle, I don't know nothing about you before you got saved. All I've known is I've looked up to you. I don't know you well, but I've looked up to you. I've heard your name down through the years. You go back to the hole of the pit, Brother Barry, Brother Jeff, that God come down and got you out of. Brother Robert, there ain't enough money in the world and I'd go back to where I come out of. Ain't enough money in the whole world to go back there. Get me to go back there to where the God of heaven, the God of eternity, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, the God of all eternity, come down to make a personal visit one night. He come through my Samaria. And he lifted me out. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do for a minute here. I used to hear them old timers, brother, they'd get up when I first started pastoring, first got saved, 41 years ago. Them old timers would get up and every time they'd testify, they'd say something like this. They'd say, I just want to thank God for His mercy. Yes. And His love and His grace. Amen. How good He's been to me. Yes. I was just a young man, didn't know nothing, hadn't been saved long. Next time they'd get up, they'd say, I just want to thank God for His love and His mercy. And His grace. Next time you heard him, they'd say, I just want to thank God for His mercy and His love and His grace. And as a young preacher, I thought, ain't they got nothing else to say? Here I stand 41 years later. And all I got to say these days, I just want to thank God for His mercy and His love and His grace.
All of it sinks and dies except the cross. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. What a great and wonderful Lord. I know that y'all want to wind on out and going out yonder somewhere, but I just can't go on. I just wish I could tell you. You know what I'm trying to say. I just wish I could tell you how I love Him. How I love Him. How good He's been. How wonderful He's been. How faithful He's been. How patient He's been. How kind He's been. How long-suffering He's been. How gracious He's been. How He's forgiven us and picked us up and put us back in the battle 1,000,001 times. When we thought we was gold, He'd come at the right time and wouldn't let us sing. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God all over again. Well, can I just mind the Lord, preacher? I think it'd be a good time just to maybe not even preach a minute. Just come and lay around the altar a minute. And just bless Him. Just worship Him a minute. Just praise Him for all He's done. Bless the Lord. Brother Grady, would you get on the organ and just play something for us? Just whatever preacher you want. I mean, brother you want. God's been so good. God's so good. Oh, God's so good. I love Him, don't you? I love Him. I love Him. I don't serve Him because I'm scared to death of Him. I serve Him because I love Him. I serve Him because I love Him. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, dear Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we love You. Lord Jesus, we love You. Dear Lord, we love You. Lord Jesus, You're so wonderful. Lord, You're so precious and kind. Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, dear Lord Jesus. Thank You, dear Lord Jesus. Oh, God, thank You, Lord. Thank You, God, for Your presence, for Your peace. Lord, for Your love and kindness, God, that's been shown to us. Oh, God. Oh, God. Please stay around the altar a few minutes. What better thing could we do in this meeting than worship Him? What better thing could we do than worship the Lord? Worship the Lord. Psalmist cried out, oh, let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. Oh, God.
oh God. Oh Lord, please don't rush away from the altar because someone else does. Make sure you pour your heart out to Him. Oh God. Oh God. Oh Lord Jesus. Dear Lord, we bless your sweet name. Oh God. I want to just get up and go over and hug somebody and bless them to you and tell them you love them. You can't order God. You got to just follow God. Don't you mind the Lord just a minute. Just a moment while he's finished praying. I want to tell somebody you love them. You appreciate it. Bless you, David. Love you. Make two statements and I'll get out of the way. I preached yesterday evening on Psalms 148:8. Stormy wind fulfilling his word. On storms. I meant to finish that today, but I don't think I will. But the end result of the storm in Mark 6 was, and they worshiped him. That's the end result of a storm. And they worshiped him. The end result of everything God takes you through in your life will somehow cause you to see him and worship him.
And I really feel like it's the Lord having me say this, and I'm going to sit down, whatever the Lord orders, the rest of the meeting's up to Him. But Christianity is a spirit of love.
Yes, sir.
Because it's a person of love. And Christianity in our day needs to manifest itself and showing love one to another. If it don't humble your heart and cause you to love somebody, it's not of Christ. Not of the Lord. If it gives you a bitter spirit and makes you angry at people and all that, it's not a bitter spirit. It's not of the Lord. And so, I don't know. You men know what I'm talking about. You walk away and think, man, what was I supposed to do? I don't know, but I can't do no more than I just did. I just can't do no more than I just did. So, be thankful unto Him that we've been brought in out of the field into the Father's house and made a part of the family. I'd rather be Brother Gerald. I'd rather be part of the family than anything I possibly know. Psalmist David said it right. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of many wicked. I'd just rather sit on the back seat and never be seen, but be in the back seat than be in the tents of the wicked. God bless you. Brother Robert, I'm done. I just can't. I'd disobey the Lord, do anything.